This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the
Puck! Welcome, What the Puckers. It's been a while, but welcome back to What the Puck. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully, all of you that have listened to this show before are listening this week. Follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash, and joining me as always via Skype, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, dude?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to be back. How are you doing?
I'm good. Glad to be back as well. Make sure you follow Coach Dan on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. Follow the show on Twitter as well at WTP_podcast. So it's been a little while. I guess we should kind of go into this a little bit. We've had some server issues with the person or the company that hosts the show on their website. And hopefully this week we've got it all under control and got it fixed, and we won't be able to we won't have to miss any more weeks, because with this shortened season, you know, the hockey craze fans out there, they really want to talk puck as much as possible. But Coach Dan, it's been a long time, and I hope you're ready to go on this show. I mean, every day you're always texting me, can we do a show? Can we do a show? So I know you're excited to be back.
Well, I think the thing that was crazy about, at least timing wise, with everything that happened with Podbean was that it was the trade deadline, and not only did the Caps make a trade, but they made a crazy trade that Caps fans were not happy about. And so it was like, okay, this is what we talk about. Oh, we can't do a show because we don't have any space.
Yeah, the big thing was disk space, and I don't want to get all techie with everybody out there. They don't want to get bored with that, but there's only a certain...
I can't talk about it because I don't understand much of
it. That's why I don't want to go into it, but...
That's why we talk sports.
Right, exactly. But there's only so much disk space that you're allowed to have in a month, and some of that got taken away from us, so disk space kind of shrunk down, and we maxed it out immediately because we do so many weekly shows. So hopefully those issues are fixed, and we won't have to miss any more time. And it's been a little weird, though, because in our absence, the Capitals have gone from a team that everyone was saying was the worst team in the NHL, they're never going to make the playoffs, to a team that's leading the Southeast Division now. Coach Dan, when did this metamorphosis happen for the Capitals?
Well, I know that some of the players I've been reading, they've been saying that the big change happened with that game against Winnipeg, against Winnipeg, where they sort of turned things around. They had both of the, what was it, back-to-back games, both in Winnipeg, and they turned around and started playing really well. And from there on, they've just sort of gone on this crazy run. Now, the last time I write notes before every show, and the last time I wrote notes was back on March 20th. At that time, the Caps were fourth in the Southeast with 25 points and 14th in the East with a record of 12-16-1. As you were saying, people were just sort of writing them off as just one of the bad stories of this NHL season. Now, they are 21-17-2, good for 44 points, putting them at first in the Southeast and third in the playoff race, although technically they are tied for sixth in the Eastern Conference. But the way the NHL works, that puts them third in the playoff race. They've certainly been playing a lot better, and a lot of that, you have to give credit to their captain, Alexander Ovechkin. It seems like he's woken up, and he is carrying this team on his back. He's playing phenomenal. He is now tied for the lead in the NHL goal scoring race with Tampa's Steven Stamkos with 26 goals. It looks like he, as well as the team, have finally adapted to head coach Adam Oates' system, and it is working. Yes, there are still some glitches here and there. Things are not working out so great, but for the most part, they've finally got this thing down. Ovechkin looks great on the right wing. Putting them over there has helped Marcus Johansson, who came back from a concussion injury, and he's looked great since he's been playing on the left wing with Ovechkin and Nicholas Backstrom in the center. I think that first line is doing fantastic. Now, I was watching this video on NHL.com where EJ Hradec was talking, and he said he made an interesting note that Ovechkin has scored 16 goals in the last 14 games after scoring 9 goals in the first 25, and I think a lot of that credit has to go to Adam Oates. I think he's done a great job working with Ovechkin. He hasn't been a guy like Dale Hunter, where he'll go out and throw his player under the bus to the media, or Bruce Boudreau, who just sort of leaves him alone, isn't necessarily as vocal with his captain and star player. Oates is constantly talking to Ovechkin, not yelling at him, but just talking to him, constantly working with him. And when he talks to the press, he's not, you know, he's not attacking Ovechkin. He's defending his captain. He knows that he needs that. He knows he needs Ovechkin on his side. And I think this is a great pairing of the two of them. And I think it's working.
You know, before the season got started, when Adam Oates was made coach, and it was during the lockout, they said that Oates and Ovechkin were going to be a great pairing because they had similar playing styles. But Ovechkin came out to the media, I believe it was last week, and he said the biggest reason why he's playing so well and getting along with the coach is trust. He said that he feels as if the coach trusts him to play well and do what he has to do. And you could definitely tell he did not get that at the end of the Bruce Boudreau era. There was that benching during overtime, and you could see where Ovi had some choice words to say about Bruce, and then in Dale, that's the nicest way to put it. Yeah, and with Dale Hunter, you could definitely tell that he didn't trust Ovi to have to do what Ovi can do. He put out the hard nosed guys like Beagle more than he would put out Ovechkin, and it seems like him and Oates they trust each other. They know what skill set each of them have, and it really looks like it's starting to gel now. At the beginning of the season, I never thought I was going to be able to say that, because it looked so difficult for this team to be a good team. But this system that Adam Oates is bringing in, it looks like it's finally catching on and finally working.
Yeah, I mean, we talked earlier in this season, we talked to the show where we said that this is going to take some time and they're going to look bad early on. It's going to look ugly early on, and I think it was worse than we actually had imagined. But now they've been coming on strong. They're playing well. A lot of the talk has been, oh, well, they're just beating teams in the Southeast, and a lot of the teams in the Southeast aren't that good. Okay, yeah, that's kind of true. But last night they showed that they can play well against good teams, and they were able to go out and dominate for some of that game. The Montreal Canadiens are currently second in the Eastern Conference. So I think this team can play well. I certainly think that they may be a team to reckon with in the playoffs if they can continue on this hot streak and continue with the confidence that they have going at the moment.
Yeah, that's definitely a good thing. It's good to get hot at the right moment. Look at the LA Kings last year. They came in eighth in the playoffs and went and just obliterated the teams they were up against throughout the entire Stanley Cup playoffs. So this is a good thing. This team's getting hot when it needs to. Now let's talk about something that was really big that happened last week, and I was so ticked off we couldn't do a show. But there was a big trade for the Capitals, and they brought in Erat from the Nashville Predators, and they traded away the top prospect for the Capitals, Philip Forsberg, which drew a lot of people's attention, got a lot of people angry, including Coach Dan and myself. We were not happy about that in any way. But now that Erat has been here for a game or two and then out again, injured over this past weekend against the Panthers. How are you feeling, at least in the game and a half you've been able to see of Erat? How does it feel to have him in a red jersey?
Well, here's the thing. I like Martin Erat, and I never had a problem with picking him up. I think a lot of the anger regarding that trade was because the Capitals gave up their number two prospect in Philip Forsberg. And I think a lot of it was because also they were just talking about bringing him over to play in Hershey within the next, I don't know, week or so, and then all of a sudden he got traded, and it was just this huge surprise. Now let's look at Erat first. He's a top six winger, no doubt about it, when he's healthy. I think he's got a ton of speed, and what we saw with the two games he played, he has a lot of talent. I think he needed some more time to gel with his team. I think he really could have done a good. Well, unfortunately, he was cheap-shotted by Florida's Eric Gabrielsson, so we don't know how long he's going to be out. It seems like he's probably going to be out for a little while longer, but hopefully he'll be back before the playoffs start, provided the Capitals make the playoffs. So we'll see how that goes. But I like the trade. I like that they also brought in 21-year-old prospect center Michael Latta. I think this guy, he's a bit of a gritty guy. He doesn't mind hitting people. I believe his first game for Hershey, he got into a fight. So I certainly like what he brings to the table, and I do think you could potentially see him playing in D.C. next season. Now, to go sort of off topic, the Capitals are going to have a serious cap problem next season if they re-sign Mike Ribeiro. So bringing in young guys like Michael Latta, I think, is a good move for next season. Now, in regards to Philip Forsberg, I think everyone was surprised that he got traded, especially if it was going to be for Erat and Latta. And this isn't a shot at those guys, but just that Forsberg was that highly regarded. But word out of the Capitals was that the scouts and general manager George McPhee were not very happy with his foot speed. They weren't very happy with his speed overall in regards to the game. And I think that's an interesting point. If it's true, they could just be covering their asses for all we know. But if that's true, I do think that's a problem, because the NHL now is about youth and speed. And if you don't have one of those, it may be a problem. Yes, some of the older players like Jaromir Jagr are still, even though he's still a douchebag, are doing, you know, well. But a lot of this is about getting younger and getting faster. And if he doesn't have the foot speed to keep up in this game, that could be a problem. But we'll see. Nashville is talking about bringing him over and potentially having him play towards the end of the season. So this is one of those trades that we're not really going to know how it worked out for a couple of years. We have to see how good Forsberg becomes before we're going to sort of like go after George McPhee. I do think this was sort of a desperation move by McPhee to get this team into the playoffs, and it may work in the end, but the Caps are going to have to go and make some interesting moves, because ERAP brings in a $4.5 million cap hit for the next two seasons, which is it's a big cap hit. It's going to be a problem if they want to re-sign Ribeiro, because they're going to start running out of cap space next season, because that goes down. The cap ceiling goes down to $64.3 million. So down this year from 70.3. So they certainly have some interesting moves to make, but I do like the addition of Erat. I don't think he I think if he can get healthy, he's definitely going to help this team.
Yeah, that's the big thing though. Like we've seen it already. He showed off that he's got the legs. He's fast. He's fast on the ice, but I mean, when he gets cheap shot like that, real quick, just as a side note, I don't know this information off the top of my head, but did the Panther who did that cheap shot, did he get any sort of suspension or anything?
I don't think so.
He got nothing. Nothing for that cheap shot. That's really sad to hear, because it was a nasty hit. It was right in the numbers. It was just a nasty hit. I think he should have at least lost one or two games. But here's the thing I like to say about this plan. I think this is George McPhee's last stand. I think that with Philip Forsberg, we were saying it for the longest time, how dangerous that line was going to be of Forsberg, Kuznetsov, and it was going to be Tom Wilson. How these three guys were going to be just a force to be reckoned with in the future. I think George McPhee wants a cup now. I think he's got pressure on him from Ted Leonsis saying, we need a Stanley Cup now. This team doesn't look good right now, and we need him to be in the playoffs going for that cup in this season. They didn't want to wait for Forsberg to come over at the right age or the right time. They wanted everything to happen now. So I think that's why George McPhee made this move. He doesn't want to wait another year or two to be another contender. He wants to be a contender now with their star player Ovechkin still on that top line. So I think George McPhee made this call out of, I don't want to, like you said, it may have been desperation. I don't know if it was desperation. I think it was just the fact that he's got pressure on him to keep this team fresh, not in a year or two, but keep them fresh now and to keep them moving now and not just kind of fall to the wayside, this year and waiting for the next year to pick up. So we'll see what happens. I liked Forsberg a lot. I was excited for him to come to DC, but it didn't happen. I wish I could have seen more of Erat in the Capitals jersey, but he's already sidelined with a concussion. Supposedly he has a history of concussions, which is kind of scary to think about in today's world.
They are talking about his concussion injuries and sort of his, sort of an overall conversation regarding injuries and how teams say upper body or lower body. They're never very specific. I think Erat's injury in and out, though, is his, I think it's his ankle. From the way it looked like from the cheap shot that he took, it sort of looked like his ankle went awkwardly, and that he's trying to skate and he needed help off the ice when he got hurt, and then he's been trying to skate maybe the last day. I think it might have been today or yesterday. So we'll see how that goes. I think he'll be back before the end of the season, but we don't really know. In regards to the Caps prospects, losing Forsberg did kind of suck, depending on how well he's going to do. But they do have Kuznetsov. He's not coming over next season. He'll be here the season after that. He'll be here over after the Olympics in Sochi. But then they also have a guy like Riley Barber, whose name sort of shot up their prospect rankings. And then you have Tom Wilson, who potentially can make the roster next season, although I don't anticipate that being the case necessarily. And they have a couple other guys coming along. So I think this team still has a lot of prospects they can look forward to. Maybe not someone that has quite the talent that Forsberg may or may not have, but you never really know. Some guys get drafted in the seventh round and they turn out to be great. And then, the Caps are going to have to make some moves to get under the salary cap next season. And by doing that, they could bring in some pretty good talent. So we'll see what happens going forward.
You just made me think of this. I should have brought this up earlier, but here's something else to think about. Philip Forsberg was a forward. The Capitals were not looking for a forward during the first round of the draft last year. And they said they weren't even considering getting Forsberg because they figured he'd be gone because he was such a highly regarded player.
Yeah, they expected to make it to them.
So my line of thinking when I was originally heard this is maybe that was George McPhee's idea all along. Maybe he was always going to be a chess piece. He was never going to be a capital, and he was strictly using him just to pick somebody up later down the line. Maybe in McPhee's mind, they're like, we never thought we'd get this guy. He's so sought after that we're going to pick him up just to use him for a trade. So maybe George McPhee was thinking that way. I have no idea, but maybe that's another one of my theories of why Forsberg even could have been a capital.
Well, I think Forsberg definitely fell to them when they weren't expecting it in the draft. And then, the opportunity arrived. I don't think he was willing to move a guy like Kuznetsov, not quite yet, because that guy's supposed to be just phenomenal hockey player. I think he saw an opportunity and he went for it. His scouts, may or may not have said that he may not be quite as quick as they thought. They think that he's not going to be quite as good as they projected initially. It's sort of hard to tell, and we're not really going to know what happened. I don't think we're ever going to know exactly what they were thinking, but we won't know how good this trade works out for, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. So, very unexpected trade, but hopefully Erat is healthy soon and we can actually see what he can do with these teammates. And it's crazy. These guys are finally falling in line and they're getting into the system. This past week's games, it's been fun to be a Caps fan again. It really has. It's been exciting games. And even though some of the games are a little lopsided, these guys not playing the full 60 minutes, I want to say the majority of the time now, these guys are playing a full 60-minute game and they're not like dropping out in the third period. Yeah, they slow down a little bit, but it looks like they're getting closer to playing that full 60-minute game like they're supposed to do and not kind of tiring out in the end.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly looked a lot better lately. I think it's a lot of this is they finally understand the system enough that they're able to make the moves and be in the right position without having to think too much about it. I think it's the roster to some extent has sort of settled down, even though they sort of have some injury trouble. We've talked about Erat, who like is now out with a groin injury. I'm guessing, and I have no insider knowledge about this, but I'm completely guessing that Brooks Like will not be playing for this team again this season. I have no idea, and I hope that's not the case, but that's just my guess. And then after Like went down, and then Erat, and then Joel Ward went down after he took a puck to his left leg during a game and wasn't able to finish the game. So they've had guys going down, but other players like Volpatti are stepping in. Eric Fair was out, but he's come back. He's playing well. Volsky's back in the lineup, although we haven't really seen much from him goal scoring wise. But the team's still playing well. The defense has sort of settled down. Carlson and Olsen are playing well. Mike Green is back and playing very well. Alexi's playing great. Erskine's back. So everything. Hillen's been playing great lately. Everything's just sort of going really well for this team.
There's one guy I do want to bring up, and I don't know why it surprised me, but I want to bring up Nuvi. Nuvi is a guy we have not seen a lot of play from because Holtby's been so hot, and you can tell that Oates likes Holtby a lot. But seeing Nuvi in a game just recently, it reminded me of how good of a goaltender this guy is. He really is a great talent, and it's a shame to see him kind of sitting on the bench so much, but you got to go where the hot hand is, and Holtby has been playing great this season as well. But really, these goaltenders have really stepped up their game, and Nuvi, it was great to see him back on the ice, and it just was a great reminder of how good he really is.
I like that Neuwirth played the other King games. I think sometimes as fans we forget that this is really Holtby's first NHL season.
Yeah.
And it's not even a full season. His first NHL season is like half of a season. So it's kind of bogus what thing worked out with him. But, so he's still young. I don't think they could just play him all the way through to the playoffs, even if they are in a huge playoff race, because you could run the potential of sort of tiring him out, burning him out. So I think it was great that they played Neuwirth. I was going back and forth with a friend of mine, Alex, yesterday before the game about whether Neuwirth should be playing or not. And I think the biggest thing is that they need to play both of these guys so that whoever comes out on top in regards to, the goalie battle, if you want to put it that way, towards the end of the season, if they make the playoffs, they need to know who the hot hand's going to be and make sure that he's not tired at that point. I do think it's going to be Holtby playing in the playoffs. We'll see who plays tomorrow night. I certainly think that Neuwirth may have earned the chance to play at least another night before going back to Holtby, but we'll see how it goes. But I think right now it's great that they have two number one goalies. As much as we don't, some people think that Neuwirth isn't a number one goalie, and he's had a bad run of luck this season in regards to injuries and things like that. I mean, you know, he's getting ready to play one night, and then Ovechkin hit him in the head with a slap shot or something during practice, and he couldn't play. And then something else happens where he's sick and he can't play. So he's had a sort of a bad run of luck in regards to his health this season, but he's played well the last two games. I think it's great for the team that they have two number one goalies.
Yeah, I do want to say that game he was supposed to play and Ovechkin hit him in the head and he was having concussion-like symptoms. I don't think it was a full-fledged concussion, but he was a little dizzy and they pulled him off and didn't have him play. But the Czech Republic national team was there to see him as a prospect, possibly for the Olympics. And
yeah,
he couldn't play that game because of that concussion. So I feel bad for the guy because he's kind of missing all these opportunities. But just seeing him in a few games this season, you're like, wow, this guy really is good. There was the game against the Canadiens. I don't remember what period it was or anything like that, but Nuvi had this glove save and it was just so quick and so nice. Like, you just were like, wow, all right, that's I saw that glove save and I'm like, this guy's the real deal. He is good. And it's amazing that we have these two goaltenders that Holpe's a little bit more flash than Nuvi, but they're both just solid in the net. So I feel very lucky that the Capitals have these two guys. But the team overall, we've been talking about the whole time, has been playing so well. We've got guys like Jack Hillen, new daddy, and I guess him having a new kid, it really makes him a better hockey player.
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, you figure, I don't have personal experience with this, but you figure you have a kid, babies are up all night crying and stuff, so like you don't get a lot of sleep. Not getting a lot of sleep apparently has made him play better. I don't understand how that works out, but it's worked out well for him. He's played great. He got his first goal as a Washington Capital in the game against the Canadiens. And then before that, he got a new two-year extension worth a total of $1.4 million. So he'll be with the Caps, potentially, for the next 2 years with a cap hit of $700,000, which is actually a nice deal. I wasn't a big fan of Hillen. He played, what, one game in the beginning of the season, got hurt, and we didn't see him for weeks, months. I even said on the show that I forgot he was even on the team. And then now he's actually playing very well, so it's good to see that the defense is stepping up. They still have a couple of mistakes here and there, but they've played well. I do like that that's settling down because they're going to need to know who their top six guys are going into the playoffs.
And that's a big thing. We're talking about these guys being a playoff team, but with this shortened season, the points are very close, so anything could happen. But the Capitals definitely look like they're going to have a spot in the playoffs. I mean, who would have ever thought at the beginning of this season?
You don't jinx it.
I know. It's crazy that we're even discussing the fact.
Don't do it.
So, I mean, as long as you're not rooting for them, we should be okay.
Hey,
last year in the playoffs, in the West, you're like, this team's going to win, this team's going to win. And every time you said that, they were out.
I think I was like 0 for, what, like 10? Guessing the West? I was just, that hurt.
Yeah.
I think I got one right.
Yeah.
And then the rest, well, because LA, I mean, it sort of shows you what you have to do in the NHL playoffs. You just have to be hot at the right time. No one thought, they're like, okay, the Kings made the playoffs, good for them. Okay, they're going to get knocked out in the first round. Oh, they won? All right, well, they're not going to make it through the second. Okay, they won again. Huh. You know, if you get hot at the right time, and it looks like the Capitals are doing this right now, you can make a run. So any team that's going to have the opportunity to make this sort of crazy run has a phenomenal chance at doing something in the playoffs.
Yeah, thankfully the Capitals are getting hot at the right time, and we have a lot of great players, so I'm very excited about what's coming up, and there's not that much time left in the regular season, so there's a lot of great hockey to watch on TV soon, or in person, whatever you want to do. But is there any other Caps news we should talk about?
Well, just the interesting Caps news, they made a couple of other trades during the trade, up to the trade deadline, but they were minor league deals. The Caps sent Matthew Claxton to Phoenix for former Cap and Hershey Bear Joel Reklich. As we remember him, he's a bit of a fighter. And then they also sent Garrett Stafford to Edmonton for Dane Byers. These are both Hershey deals, sort of help the guys up in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the Wrecker being back there, he was a huge fan favorite in Hershey, so it's good to have him back. He played a couple games last year as a Capital, so some fans...
I think Dale Hunter called him up just to keep other teams in line, because if they didn't, he'd put Reklich on the ice and just kind of tap him on the shoulder and be like, hit that guy.
He really is a goon, so he's a typical hockey goon. But he's a big Hershey guy. I think a lot of people were sad to see him skip town and go back, but now he's back in Hershey, and you know what? I think we should go up 83, and let's talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. All right, man, so a lot of stuff going on in PA. The ECHL already in the playoffs. in playoff mode. Reading is going to be a force to be reckoned with there. But there's a lot going on up in Pennsylvania, so let's talk about what's going on with Hershey right now.
Well, first we had a little bit of player moves going on in Hershey, aside from the two guys that got traded to the Capitals and then were sent down to Hershey. We also had Dmitry Orlov and Tomas Kondratyk were both sent down to Hershey before the trade deadline to help them out. Also in Hershey is recent college free agent defenseman signing Nate Schmidt. Now, I believe Schmidt actually was playing with the Capitals at development camp, and so he had I guess it was sort of an easy thing for him to be able to come in and sign with the Capitals. And he is another name to sort of remember and think about for next season and beyond, that he might be someone that they end up bringing along in the near future. But currently, Hershey is sitting at 33-28-9, good for 75 points, which puts them at 4th in the East Division and 8th in the Eastern Conference. So while they're still in the playoffs, they still have a little ways to go. I believe their last game is sort of towards the end of the month, so they still got to go on a little bit of a winning streak if they want to keep that playoff spot going. Reading, on the other hand, as you mentioned, is currently in the playoffs. They did finish their regular season back on March 30th. They finished the season with a record of 46-19-7, good for 99 points, so close to 100, which put them at first in the Atlantic Division and first in the Eastern Conference. Currently, they're in the playoffs playing against Greenville Road Warriors of the EC. That's a name. Yeah. In the ECHL playoffs, taking a 2-1 series lead after tonight's 4-2 loss in Greenville.
Well, you know what? I do want to bring up something about Reading real quick. This was pretty cool. I don't know if you saw this, but Reading put out Capitals themed jerseys the other night. These things, man, they look sharp.
Yeah, I saw a picture. I think you sent it to me, the picture, and I was like, what are you talking about? Okay, this is pretty cool. It's basically the Caps jersey, but had, you know, a small thing Reading, and then Royals. It actually worked out really well. It was pretty cool. I wanted to buy one, but they're really expensive.
Oh my, so,
you know,
well,
what?
It was crazy.
Never mind.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy. They're like, make sure you go online at 8 a.m. These things are going to sell out. We're going to be selling these. And I went on there, $500 for a
sell out? I don't think so. No one's buying jerseys. $500.
I thought that since these guys were getting just recently purchased over the last offseason, that they were going to change their colors up to be more like the Capitals, because the Reading Royals, really, they were owned by the Kings beforehand, and there was a lot of purple, black, and silver. So I was like, all right, well, I guess they're going to change it up a little bit. But if this is where they're going to go next season, these jerseys were sharp. They had the Capitals writing on the front. I mean, it looked like a Washington Capitals ripoff jersey, but it was really cool looking. So $500, a little too much for me.
Little pricey. I do think it'll be kind of cool if they go that way. I think sometimes teams, when they change affiliates, it takes a season before they can actually get all the merchandise together, all the other things together, if they're going to change up their logo or the way it looks, or change up their jersey and stuff. So we may see something different next year. I don't know just yet. In other one little piece of Reading news, goaltender Riley Gill was actually named the ECHL Goaltender of the Month for the month of March. So congratulations to him. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, congratulations to the Reading Royals. Hopefully the playoffs don't stop anytime soon for these guys. Go Royals, go Bears. Now let's go up to the main league. Let's go around the NHL.
Well, I think the first thing to talk about in regards to the NHL, let's go back and visit the trade deadline. I think the most exciting trades, though, and this seems to happen over the last couple of seasons, is it kind of kills the trade deadline. Like, the trade deadline is supposed to be, you wake up and you're like, oh, this is going to be great. All these guys are moving, a lot of exciting news. But then everybody makes trades before the deadline. So all the big names get moved and the trade deadline is just not quite as exciting. But I think the most exciting trades, the biggest trades, ended up being involved with the dreaded and evil Pittsburgh Penguins. They actually acquired Brendan Morrow from Dallas, Douglas Murray from San Jose, and then in the craziest trade, they actually picked up Jerome Iginla from the Calgary Flames. And this was after he was reportedly, and it was being reported by everybody, that he was going to Boston. There was actually a press conference that's going to be held in Boston saying, and they were going to come out and say that they had acquired Iginla. Now, the story is that the deal was done and he was ready to go to Boston, but Iginla said no, he wanted to go to Pittsburgh. So Calgary had to go and accept the deal that Pittsburgh had offered. So the Penguins went out and made a bunch of crazy moves. At the deadline, however, there were a bunch of big trades after kind of a slow start to the day. Right around 2 o'clock, things started to get interesting. Boston actually ended up acquiring Jaromir Jagr, douchebag, from Dallas, and Wade Redden from St. Louis. Dallas actually sent Derek Roy to Vancouver. The Rangers got Ryan Klo from San Jose. Buffalo sent Buffalo had a fire sale, or a mini fire sale, if anything. They sent Robin Regier to Los Angeles and Jason Pominville to Minnesota. Ottawa got Corey Conacher from Tampa for Ben Bishop. And Columbus the potential playoff bound Columbus Blue Jackets ended up acquiring Marion Gabbert from the New York Rangers and Michael Layton from Philly. They sent goaltender Steve Mason to Philly to bring in Layton. And St. Louis got Jay Bouwmeester from Calgary. Now, here's kind of a funny story about Bouwmeester. My girlfriend brought this up to me, that Bouwmeester has never played in the NHL playoffs. So you got traded to St. Louis, who you'd think it would actually have a pretty good shot at making the playoffs after they've had a pretty good season. They're actually currently sixth, but they're only 5 points from being knocked out of the NHL playoffs. So I do think it would be kind of funny if Bouwmeester gets traded from Calgary, who is 14th in the West, to St. Louis, and then St. Louis doesn't make the playoffs. I just think that would be funny. I mean, it would suck for Bouwmeester, but come on, it would be kind of funny. Yeah, but that's all sort of the big name trades that happened over the trading deadline.
Let me just say how weird Jágr looks in the black and gold of the Bruins. I mean, he did have a good game with them the first time around, but how many teams is this guy going to play for? Is he going to hit every single NHL team before he retires?
Well, let's see. He played for Pittsburgh. They sent him to Washington. We sent him to New York. Then he disappeared for a little while, came back, played for Philly, Dallas, and now Boston. So he's sort of making his way around the Eastern Conference. He's got a couple of years, you know, a little more time to go. Who knows how many years he has left to play. But, you know, he's kind of making his moves around. He hasn't played for Florida yet. All the old guys seem to find their way to end up playing for Florida.
Give it time.
At some point. Yeah, we've got time before he may end up playing for the Panthers.
So what else is going on around the NHL?
Well, aside from confirming that Detroit will be hosting the Winter Classic like they were supposed to do this season, thanks NHL, against the Toronto Maple Leafs, there's also rumors that they're going to be setting up outdoor games in both New York and Los Angeles, and that both of these games will be played on the same day as part of Hockey Day in America. Now, New York, I can understand. They've wanted to actually play a game in New York for quite some time now. Now, these will not be called the Winter Classic, but just be outdoor games, I guess sort of as the NHL's way of apologizing and getting the fans back after their bogus lockout. New York, I understand. Here's what I want to know. How are you going to have an outdoor hockey game on ice in Los Angeles? Now, I haven't been out to L.A. personally, but I'm fairly certain it's a little warm.
Just a little bit.
Just a smidge, you know? So, okay, Buffalo, yeah, okay. Detroit, that'll be cool. Boston, I understand. Pittsburgh, okay. L.A.? They have trouble keeping the ice good in buildings. How are they going to be able to keep the ice outside in Los Angeles?
So you got to remember this, though. We were both there, the Baltimore Hockey Classic. The Capitals came to Baltimore, my hometown. They were having a lot of problems with the ice in that building. And that was a fairly warm day, and it was pretty warm inside. But come on. Like, I don't know how they're going to do this in L.A. I mean, all kinds of props to them if they can pull this off, but I would love to see it, but wow, I don't know how they're going to do it.
Watch, now that we're like talking smack about this idea, it's going to be like snowing. And it'll be like 28 degrees, be like the coldest day ever in Los Angeles. And everyone's be like, what?
Right.
And it'll be like an 85 degree day in New York, like we're having now in April, because that makes sense.
Now, me just being who I am, I would love to see an outdoor game in D.C., but I want it to be on the mall in front of where, like, you know, the Lincoln Memorial is.
Yeah, never going to happen.
Never. I know it'll never happen.
It'll never happen.
But that would be the coolest thing ever.
I do think someday we are going to see a Winter Classic in D.C. That was rumored a while ago. I think the lockout may have pushed it back a year or two. But I do think one day we will see an outdoor game, whether it's at FedEx. I don't think it'll be at RFK, if that's even standing at the time they do this. Or at Nationals Park. I do think they'll want to do it. It's going to be pretty cool. Tickets will probably be really expensive, so I'll end up having to watch on TV. But either way, I do think it will be kind of cool. I do think they'll have one day.
They want to have one on neutral ground. They can always come to Camden Yards or M&T Bank Stadium. Because, you know, M&T Bank, you know, is super.
That would be cool.
Well, you know, the M&T Bank, that would be really cool. Super Bowl champion stadium, not like FedEx Field or anything like that.
All right, anyways. I think I've read that they like the outdoor games. They want to have them at, I believe I read they want to have them more at baseball stadiums because of the way the seats sort of work and that they're all sort of facing towards home plate.
Right.
So I think it would be if they do either Camden Yards or Nationals Park. I also think they don't like the football stadiums because they're potentially playing at the same time.
Right, it's the same season.
We'll see how that works. So we'll see how that goes, but I think in the near future we will see an outdoor classic game in Washington.
They're also talking about that they're going to bring back the Heritage Classic up in Canada. So really, this outdoor game idea, they are going full on, and they want to do as many as possible. Maybe they'll move the entire league outdoors in a couple years to do as many outdoor games as they can. But if you remember the Heritage Classic, it was, I believe it was Montreal against the Calgary Flames. They were having a hard time playing because it was that cold. It's the exact opposite of LA. It was so cold that the ice was they were having a hard time keeping the ice together. Like, it was just so cold.
Yeah, it was
nothing,
cracking.
Yeah, it was cracking like crazy. So really, you go outside and it's all kinds of different things you got to deal with. But all over the place now. It seems like they're doing outdoor games. We're going to have Heritage Classic, many winter classics, outdoor games all over the place around the States and Canada. But one place that the NHL said they will not be playing hockey, it's over in Europe, because it seems like that European showcase that usually opens up a season has been canceled for the next season coming up.
Yeah, I don't really mind that. I mean, it's kind of silly, and if it's your team and they sort of start the season over there and it's your team and it's a home game, that's one less game you get to go see potentially at your building. So I don't mind they're not doing that anymore. It seems like the teams that start over there always seem to struggle early in the season. So, there's rumors that the Capitals would be doing that in the near future. That wasn't something I wanted. So I do like where things are going right now and getting rid of that sort of European idea.
Yeah, well, that was a hard thing too as a fan. If you wanted to watch one of those games, it was at really weird times because over in Europe, it's,
they're a couple hours ahead.
Just a few. So that was really rough. But the big thing, though, besides the European games being canceled, is the NHL is still talking about, this kind of World Cup of hockey, and they're also talking about the Olympics, and they're discussing whether or not to let players play or not, which let's just cut to the point here, NHL. These guys are going to play in the Olympics if they want to. These guys, especially the Russians, and it being in Russia, are proud of their country and they want to represent their country. So I don't see Ovechkin and Malkin and a couple other guys saying, "Oh, you don't want me to play? Okay, I won't." These guys are going to play. Just, I don't know what you want to do, but they're going to play no matter what.
Well, the reports and the rumors are that the NHL is going to allow the players to go over and play in Russia. It's just a matter of sort of figuring every little detail out before it happens. But I do think we are going to see that happen in the end, that the players are going to be allowed to go over and play.
So, I mean, that is a good thing if that's what they want to do, but it's, it's all this red tape crap that the NHL is known for, so.
Yeah, well, they do have a lot of practice at taking forever to solve something.
That's very true. So, is that it going on around the NHL?
Yeah, that's been pretty much all the big news around the NHL recently.
All right, man. Well, you know what? This is a shortened season with the entire NHL due to that lockout. So the Capitals only have 8 games left. It feels like we just started talking about hockey a month or so ago, but 8 games left coming up until we talk again. Hopefully people can hear us next week as well. But coming up, we've got Carolina's coming to town April 11th, the Carolina Hurricanes versus the Washington Capitals at 7 p.m. That'll be on Comcast Sportsnet. That's also at the phone booth. Saturday, April 13th, we have the Tampa Bay Lightning, again, 7 p.m., Comcast Sportsnet, again in the phone booth. And then Tuesday, April 16th, up against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Toronto's coming to D.C., 7 p.m., Comcast Sportsnet. So 3 games until we record again. So big 3 games. I mean, due to this lockout, shortened season, these guys are all in the Eastern Conference. That's all each team is meeting is in the same conference until the playoffs. So big games coming up. Carolina is trying to be a threat again. So I think that game's going to be one to watch because, again, it's a Southeast Division rival. So it is one of those 4-point games, so you want to come out with 2 points. You don't want it to go to overtime. But they've been struggling a little bit, but they're trying to get back to the game that – they were doing really well in the beginning.
Yeah, I don't know. Carolina's just sort of fallen off the map recently. There's something like 1-10 and 3 or something recently. They've been struggling. They've been having a lot of trouble. It's actually someone brought up the point that since they signed Alex Semin to that new deal, that they've actually gone on this like a horrible losing streak. So I don't know if there's any connection there, possibly. But we'll see how that goes. But in regards to the cap schedule remaining, well, they have 8 games left. 5 of them are against current playoff teams. One of them is against Winnipeg, who is fighting to get into the playoffs. And then they have Tampa and Carolina. So they certainly have a rough go towards the end of the season. But I think, if anything, that's going to prepare them for the playoffs if they make it there. So I certainly, you know, I don't like that their schedule is rather difficult towards the end, but if anything, their playoffs should have already started because they need to make it. They need to be playing at their best the rest of the way, and hopefully we'll see that.
I'm going to say something that a lot of fans are probably going to give me a little bit of flack for. I'm kind of digging the shortened season. I know that sounds weird because I'm a hockey fan. I want to watch as much hockey as I can, but it seems like every game is more important. It seems like it's more fun to watch because there's more drama almost. Because, you know, if you miss a game or two, it's like, ah, no big deal. There's 82 of them. I'll catch them again. Now we've got 8 games left, and it seems like every single one of those games is important. Like you said, it's like going to be a playoff atmosphere because they need to win these games to get in the playoffs. At this point in a normal Capitals season, they can kind of not take the game off, but not take it as seriously as they could because they haven't struggled like this before. So I kind of dug a shortened season. I think that's why football is so popular, because it's 16 weeks, and if you miss one of those games, then you screw up the week 2 of the regular season. You're not in the playoffs for the NFL. So for me, I kind of dug that atmosphere of this shortened season making every game that more important. But next year when there's 82 games on, I'm going to be fine with that as well, because I do love watching hockey.
Yeah, I mean, I think you make a good point. It has been kind of cool that basically every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday that there's a game. Then occasionally you have a Wednesday, Friday, or Sunday game, maybe a Monday game for the Capitals. But I do think it's been kind of cool. There's sort of hockey every night. But I won't mind it getting spread out again because it is sort of ruining my opportunity to watch network television.
Well, I know you and Gossip Girl and
no, whoa, slow your roll, man.
I know. Well, at least they're not on a lot of Sunday nights when The Walking Dead was on. So
that is true.
That's okay. But all right, well, we've got a couple games left. Make sure you follow along with us on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, he's at WTP Coach Dan, and you can follow the show at WTP_podcast. And Coach Dan, where can people check us out on Facebook as well?
Well, you can follow the show at facebook.com/WTP podcast. But for more information, for more views on the Washington Capitals, head over to CapitalsOutsider.com. I had an article go up earlier today. It's about sort of the blue line logjam and how there are far too many defensemen in the organization that could be playing at the NHL level at the moment, and what I think they should be doing about that for this, not really for this season, but going into next season. So check it out. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Since we've had so many struggles with What the Puck the last couple weeks, it's been across the board for the Brando Cash Network. So go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. And that way, any of the shows that we've been doing, you'll get the latest information about where to check them out at. Because honestly, I don't know what address to give you at the end of this show. I can tell you to go to iTunes. Hopefully the same feed that you've been using is still going to work, and you'll still be able to get the show automatically downloaded straight into your iTunes or on the podcast app. Hopefully Stitcher can still pull from the same feed that it was before. We are going to figure that out after this show is posted. So if you actually are listening to us right now, you're a step ahead of us. So congratulations on that. But Stitcher, iTunes are the best ways to listen to the show. Follow along with us on Twitter and Facebook. And once you listen to the show, you dig the show, tell other people about it. As much as we enjoy giving you this show for free, your help only makes us get bigger and better. So make sure you go write us an iTunes review. Go over to Facebook, to Twitter, to Tumblr, to Pinterest, to Instagram, to Tout, to Vine. I don't know, Google Plus if you're on there, and let people know that you're a hockey fan and that you listen to What the Puck and that you dig our show. So thank you so much for listening to What the Puck. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
All right, let's fire this thing up or something. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. It's been a while.
Let me get some more Bud Light Lime here.
That's what you need to get this show going. Some booze. Seeing as how he's giving us a website, which I
gave it us.
I don't think that's correct.